Welcome back to another episode of Unlimited Abundance. I am so happy to be here today for another new episode. Today I have a special guest joining me. My husband is joining me today. The last podcast we did was actually in December, and we said, oh, we'll do one soon, and so I guess this is soon. I didn't realize so much time flew by, and we really love doing these episodes together. The last one you guys really enjoyed, so we do plan on doing more. But today we wanted to talk about a few things. We wanted to talk about the theme of dating in interesting times. Right now there's just so much shifting and so much opportunity, and it really does feel like two worlds. And we also wanted to talk about some, I guess, I don't say green and red flags, but why certain relationships thrive more so and why other ones don't from one angle, and then answer some of your questions that you submitted. And so if you ever want to submit questions for a Q&A in a podcast, then you can follow me on Instagram. I'll have my link in the keynote. I post on stories whenever I'm recording a podcast, so just look out for when you see that question box and throw in your question. So are you ready for today's episode?
Very much so.
Excited to bring some new conversations to the table?
Yeah, hopefully you've got some interesting topics for us.
Okay, here we go. So the first kind of topic that I want to discuss is when we look at a relationship early on as its beginning and seeing what are the factors that would indicate that it will be successful versus it wouldn't be successful. So do you want to answer first and then I can answer?
I think that's a bit of a general question.
So do we just start?
Point me in the right direction.
Okay, so I believe that one of the biggest things is our energy and our beliefs just in general, right? I speak about that a lot, about our conscious mind, about our subconscious mind, that we take action on our beliefs. And so I believe that a lot of what really influences our beliefs of how positive or expansive they are is really our self-worth and how we feel about ourselves, right? Because if we feel whole and we feel complete and we feel confident, then organically our beliefs will reflect that. We'll more likely be able to believe that I'm worthy of things and good things are meant to come for me and I deserve the best in life and I can have anything I desire and like I'm amazing and all these other expansive thoughts, right? The more that we have that lens. On the other side, the more insecure we feel, right, that's going to be reflected on our beliefs. We'll be afraid to ask for things. We'll think that things won't work out. We'll think that, oh, but why me? Like, you know, all those kinds of things. And I believe that that really is amplified in relationships, because relationships ultimately are our mirrors where we get to see ourselves reflected back to us, sometimes in an amazing light, sometimes in a non-amazing light. And so I think when two people begin to get together, that framework is super, super important of where they're coming from. So what I mean by that, if one person believes that they're whole and they're complete and they're worthy, even, again, all of us humans have, you know, I don't like to use the word flaws, but we all have things that we can work on and evolve and, you know, become better, you know. Atomic habits, become 1% better every day. We all have things we can improve upon. But if we genuinely feel whole and complete in who we are, then the way that we're going to show up in relationship is going to be reflective of that, right? We're probably going to be emotionally available. We're probably going to be responsible. We're probably going to be responsive. We're probably going to play games or do weird things. We're going to be quite grounded. And then on the other side, if an other individual is feeling more insecure, right, not feeling whole, feeling something's wrong with them, and then they're going to relationship trying to fix that or to look away from that, at the end of the day, their actions, because our actions stem from our beliefs and our beliefs stem from our thoughts, I teach this in a lot of courses, is that's going to be reflective in their actions. So they might act out, their behavior most likely will be reflective of that. And you can see how that will cause issues, right? If one person is coming from a whole space and then their actions are reflective of that, they're kind, maybe they're considerate, they don't get angry easily, they're very understanding, and the other person is not, that creates friction. So that's like for me when I work with clients and when I think about relationships, of one of the key factors to look for. I mean, there's many, many factors, right? You could look at compatibility, you could look at so many other things. But just as one of the things to look at, I find that that's a very key factor in indicating the success, or I don't want to use the word failure, because sometimes which is not supposed to work out is that you learn a lesson, but if the relationship is going to continue between those two people. So
what I would say is, to simplify what you just said.
No, but I want to hear your angle.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. give me a chance to finish my sentence. You can't love anyone until you love yourself, is what I would say. and you can't be 100% honest with someone and I guess accept someone else's love if you don't accept your own. So I think that if you go into a relationship, as you just said, where one person is very comfortable, very happy, they've, you know, potentially healed any childhood traumas or any relationship issues they've got, they're feeling confident about themselves, they feel, as you would say, sexy and
sexy, you know, they're feeling sexy,
woman-like, as you are, I'm feeling very confident in their feminine essence. If you then start talking to someone who is just looking for someone to heal them or has just given up on trying to figure stuff out themselves, and the start of the relationship is just one person trying to heal the other person, A, it's not fair, and B, it's just going to cause too much friction where one person's going to feel like they're a crutch for the other person.
Well, and it's not to say, right, that you're, because I think that relationships are so beautiful because you both do heal in them, but like you're saying, if the dynamic is like, I feel whole, I know I have things to work on, another person feels whole and they know that they have things to work on, and you work on them together, right? Because it's not like, oh, you have to be perfectly healed and then you enter in a relationship and there's never any issues and you just move forward. Like, that's definitely not the case, and it's definitely not to say that you just have to be like, I've healed every single thing and oh, I'm ready.
I didn't mean it so that it was a bit, there's obviously nuance to everything. Not everything is black and white, and someone might also feel like they're 100% healed, but they could be suppressing something totally different.
And you don't have to be 100% healed into a relationship. I don't believe that. I'm just saying there's a difference in believing you're, like, worthy and whole, even with flaws or, like, things that you want to improve. And there's, like, because two people could literally have the identical flaw. Like, I don't know, let's say two people are, like, really, like, messy, okay? And one person is like, yeah, you know, I can be messy, but, like, I'm still an amazing person. It doesn't matter. But the other person is like, I'm so messy. How is anyone going to want to be with me? How is anyone going to want to live with me? It's, like, it's also the perspective that that person takes. And, again, it goes back to that individual's belief system.
So own your flaws, basically.
Yeah, like, be like, yeah, I'm a messy bitch, you know? Like,
and to be honest, if both people in the relationship are happy with the way they are, then you'll end up finding someone that doesn't mind cleaning up after you.
Exactly, see?
Or any other similar analogy.
So what does self-love look like to you? Because what do you think self-love looks like to a man then? Because we want to hear your perspective, right? What does self-love look, because you said, oh, it's important that they love themselves before they love someone else. So what does self-love look like for a man, like a healthy man who's ready for a relationship, ready to partner up and blossom and fly into the sky?
Again, without generalizing everyone and tarring every man with the same brush, because everyone has their own, morality. For me personally, I think that self-love is about knowing who you are from the very core of yourself, like knowing what you've done in your life, accepting what you've done, being honest about it, learning from any mistakes that you've got. But I think overall,
so self-love is like you just knowing who you are and what you've done.
Yeah, like once you realize who you are, you know, what you've done, what you are capable of.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
And you know, you've closed any doors that need to be closed, and you live with respect. You respect yourself. You respect other people
around
you.
That's such a big one, I think.
Yeah, like once you self-love, again, I came out with it, but it's hard to describe that. I think for me personally, it's about knowing who I am, understanding my own internal flaws, but not just ignoring them, actually physically doing something to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love myself, because I want to improve, because I want to be a better person, I want to be a better husband, a better dog dad, a better
cat dad,
manager at work. Like, I want to learn from my own mistakes and make sure that I don't kind of pass on those types of traits. Yeah.
We took a lot of, I think, I guess there's so much to that, but what stood out to me is respect, right? I think that, like kind of applying back to the, if you don't love yourself, no one, like, how can you love someone else? I think that respecting yourself is so important. And I think this is like, I think women need to be more weary of this, men as well. But like, I feel like it's like, if you want someone to respect you, you have to teach them to respect you. Not teach them, but you set the example. If you like, if you demonstrate that you can be walked, I guess at the end of the day, like, people, in my opinion, see how they can behave with you. They like see how you respond. They see how you react. An easy example is, and this is not like to be rude or something, but if a girl is really easy and will just do anything and, you know, open the salon if anyone watches Love Island and is like, doesn't set any boundaries, is just like open, like that person's most likely not respecting themselves at the end of the day, you know, if we're gonna be honest. So then it's like, it's, of course that's gonna be mirrored back by someone else not respecting them. Same thing for men, if they like let a woman, you know, like treat them badly or like lie and stuff to their face.
Use them.
If you're a man, you can feel a woman's like using you, then and you're allowing that to happen, then like you're not respecting yourself, so she's not going to respect you.
Yeah, and to add to that as well,
that sparks an inspiration.
With men look at different things at the start of a relationship. Like, men are a lot more focused on someone's appearance, like, no matter how bad that sounds, like, guys don't swipe based on someone's job or someone's
they're like, ooh,
amount of followers. Yeah, oh yeah, she's a finance executive at a top fintech company or something like that. Guys don't care about that. When you're first starting out a dating period, that attraction has to be there. So if a woman's like really, yeah, like easy is probably the best word to do it, and there's no effort, there's no respect built in. So there's no instant level of respect there. It's just this person's setting a bar way too low, and
you know what it is? It doesn't invite the man to rise up. I think at everyone's core, people want to be invited into becoming a better person. I think that, like, somewhere in people's subconscious, that is. But, like, if people keep making it easy for them, then they're never invited. I think if people get inspired when someone invites them to level up, like, this is, like, a business example, but when I'm having to innovate and grow and change things in my business, I'm inspired because it's inviting me to, like, become a better person, becoming more aware, becoming, you know, like, it inspires you to level up.
Yeah.
So I think when a woman inspires a man to, like, level up, then that's inspiring. But if she just inspires him to go to, I don't know, get cocktails and do nothing, like, it's not going to, in his mind, that woman's not going to be associated with, like, his growth, because I think men are very focused on, like, their growth and success and trajectory. So if that person doesn't, like, correlate to a successful future and expansion in their lives, then it's just like, oh, it's whatever. You know, I think that that person really needs to, for a man, a woman really needs to spark, like, a vision of the future. And for women, a man needs to really spark, like, safety and security, you know? Mm-hmm.
Before I went off track on my previous point, what I was saying about men being attraction is the first thing, is a lot of men will, if they feel like they're a few levels below this woman on levels of attraction and they have this beautiful woman on their arm, they're more like, I know guys like this,
goats,
who are willing,
goats.
I
know goats like this.
No, I know guys like this who are willing to let a girl treat them like crap and walk all over them and use them for money and use them to do the things that they don't want to pay for themselves or earn the money themselves, because they're like, oh, I've got this hot girl on my arm. They allow it, but again, that relationship will never actually succeed because there's no true values there. Now we've talked more about this as well, back to your original question, I think having aligned values.
Okay, that's what I was going to pivot to. Like, a shared vision of the future, I think, is so important. So if someone, especially, it looks like they're close. I think that if someone is like, I want to live in the city in a penthouse and like fly my helicopter to work, like, or like, you know, and someone's like, I want to live in the countryside. Like, it's going to be very hard for those people to arrange their two lives, as well as, of course, which we'll talk about. Well, after this, we'll go into values in terms of like morality or like current times, but just in general, like, what do those people want? Like, I think if two people want to like live a more relaxed life in the country, that's a very different alignment than if someone is like, oh, I really want to build a business and together and like travel, you know. Some people just want to travel all the time. Like, everyone has like different things that they desire, and I think that that's, or kids, I think that people don't talk about that as well. And then later, like, I think it's like, do you want kids? Like, how many kids do you want? Like, and sorry, I'm shaking the table. And really considering that, because in the beginning, like you're saying, it's like honeymoon phase, early days, and people don't, like, they just kind of ignore.
You gloss over.
You gloss over things that are later, like, very important. Like, I don't think that it should be glossed over. And obviously, you're not going to be on the first date and be like, hey, so.
Yeah, because guys are going to run a mile if you pull out your notebook with a series of questions like a recruiter.
Yeah, but, like, you know, you little by little ask questions and you figure it out. But I do think it's important to, like, discuss what that person desires out of life. Like, I know for me, I desire a specific kind of life or specific things in my life, and if someone else did not want those things or wanted something so opposite to that, it'd be impossible, you know, mm-hmm. to be together. Like, I think that's very important. And then, which we'll talk about also, is like on like beliefs about, I guess, like life and society structure and what's going on in the world. I think that there's lots of takes on things, and for me it'd be very difficult as well, for example, to be with someone who is had specific views that I knew were wrong. I don't know how to say it. That I disagreed with, but like, you know, that I felt were maybe a little bit brainwashed, I guess. It would just be very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, like you said, I think that's something that you can do a separate topic on, right? Like, you have family values, you have your own values as a person. You have visions and goals.
Okay, well, that's really important to talk about. Also, like family values. Like, some people are not family oriented, and they literally, I don't know, just like don't really care. Like, that's
not,
like, why.
Not always through their own thing, though. Some people have terrible family.
Yeah.
Trauma throughout their
lives. No, 100%. But I'm just saying that, like, some people, like, not about even their own family, but they don't want a family. Kind of like they're very like disconnected, I guess. So they don't desire that. So
Gen Z.
Yeah. So I feel like. Yeah, I guess just like a values in life, right? And also I think life, like, desired lifestyle is also really important, of like what's the a week, a month, and a year in that person's life looks like. Because if one person's like, yeah, I think that it needs to like align in some way where both people desire that, because you both want and like levels of ambition. I don't know. I think that like if one person's super ambitious and one person just like does not care. I mean, it could work. Like, I guess it could work, but like I think that ambition goes into values.
I think it works if the unambitious person's already rich.
No, I was thinking the other way. Like, if the guy's ambitious and the girl's just chilling, like, it could work, you know, if she's just nourishing and supportive. But ultimately, yeah, values in every, like, in every, values in life, what they're wanting. I think it's just, like, character as well. Like, you really have to look at what someone's, you have to be, okay, this is what I'm going to say. You have to just be honest with yourself, especially in the early days. Like, you have to remove the rose-colored glasses and just, like, literally write pen to paper. Like, if Chad is, you think that Chad is the one for you. No offense, I should use a different Chad. I have a client who has an amazing partner named Chad. So let's, Josh, do you know, I don't know anyone named Josh. Do you know anyone named Josh? Okay, you do. Okay, so let's just, Carl. Do you know anyone named Carl? I don't.
No, not no one, okay. No one close to me.
Okay, so let's say Carl, let's say Sandy's in love with Carl, but Carl's going out to the club, Carl hangs out with the boys every night. Carl's had the same job for 5 years and is totally fine with it, but in her eyes, Carl is the one. Carl maybe doesn't know if he wants kids, but let's say Sandy really wants someone who's ambitious. Sandy wants to spend a lot of quality time together. Sandy wants to have kids in the next few years, and Sandy's like, yeah, Carl could be the one. It's like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you mm-hmm. need to look at what that person's doing. Like, it's much easier than you think. Like, what is that person doing on a daily basis? What are their routines like? What are their habits like? What are their hobbies like? What are they eating? Who are they hanging out with? Like, maybe I'm a spy, but, like, I feel like it's easier. It's quite easy to figure out what someone's lifestyle is by just seeing what they do.
You can also figure that out on a couple of dates without having to ask pressing questions. Like, if you ask someone, you know, what's your hobbies? Like, what do you do outside of work? You know, what do you do usually? And they just turn around and say, oh, I just go and play pool or poker with the guys every night.
No
side hustle, not on, you know, some people are like, oh, watching YouTube, but some people are on YouTube learning. Some people
Bitcoin,
are on YouTube educating themselves, whatever it might be. I think you can quite easily deduce what someone is like and what their lifestyle is, unless they're totally BSing you.
Yeah, and that's also a red flag. If someone's really vague, I think that if someone doesn't tell you much about them, because most people, if they like what they're like, what they do, they're pretty chatty.
They're proud of it.
Yeah, like if someone asks me a question about anything like metaphysical, I'm like, sit down.
Or if they're not proud of it, but they know that they're in a position that is, you know, very fortunate to be in. It makes good money. It gives them a great base. They can save, you know, potentially buy their own house, whatever it might be. And they have ambition to do something else after. Then I think that a woman would look at that and be like, oh, actually, right, this guy's looking
exactly
down
just,
the line.
It's just like looking if it's genuinely a match. Like, for example, if you don't party and drink, like, I'm very chill, it would be very, if someone was, like, apart, like, it just would not work. Because, like, I like to spend a lot of quality time as a family, go hike, go to parks, like, I don't just, you just need to look at, and of course you can make compromises, but, like, there are certain things that you're just not going to compromise on. Like, I don't, I guess it's different for everyone, like, I don't know, even I think with small things, like, you're vegan, or pretty much, you eat fish, it's okay, we can tell the world, but, like, if you ate meat and we're cooking meat every night, like, it's so small, but that, just even things like that might honestly give me the ick every night, and yeah. When we had kids, and, like, I would not want to ever,
it, it would just cause debates about, you know, when you do have kids, how are you gonna, you know, make sure those kids are, you know, eating nutritious food and stuff like that, but, yeah, I also feel like,
I guess I'm going to ask you a question. I have a question to prompt you. So what's your advice for dating in these interesting times? We're not going to say anything super controversial, but just...
I think it's the same as last time we spoke. I think more of the onus is on the woman to figure out if this guy's legit. So I think, you know, you can ask certain questions. Let's say you and I met on Hinge. For example, shout out Hinge.
Shout out Hinge. Sponsor us. Yes, Hinge, if you ever want to do a brand deal campaign.
You know, Hinge is a different platform to Tinder because it has prompts. Mm-hmm. So I remember what I commented on your post, and I was like, oh, that's at least funny. It's not me being creepy. It's not me being like, oh, hey, you know, like, nice bikini in the other pic. LOL. You know, like, what's your Instagram? I didn't ask you what your Instagram was first. We meant it like... I was asking questions, although I didn't know if you were a real person at first because I was surprised that you responded.
Catfish as a catfish.
Yeah, 100%. You were asking me pressing questions. You're asking me about my career and what I do. You're asking me about my diet and lifestyle. And not just like, are you a vegan? Yes or no. Do you eat beef? Yes or no. It was more like, you know, so what do you like to do? And I was like, oh, I love cooking. I love growing my own vegetables. My mum's a chef. It was like, oh, what do you cook? And we got talking that way. You know, we figured it out. And you were able to find things in me before even meeting me that made you think, all right, this guy seems decent. I'll give him a chance.
Yeah.
On the first date, you just let me talk loads, yeah. loads. And you asked a few questions and I, you know.
He talks so much. It was pretty, but that's good though. I think that's like, you clearly the person's like comfortable and I don't know. I think it's good when someone is able to, I think it's more alarming when a man just like doesn't say anything.
Yeah, or one word answers or... It's just the same stuff. Oh, you know, work. What do you do outside of work? Oh, gym.
What do you do outside of gym? Relax.
Yeah, go back to work. No, it's. I think going back to the original question you asked me, dating in these times, as I mentioned, I think it's very heavily onus on the woman.
You know why? To figure out. I think as men realize that they have more time in terms of dating and getting settled down.
So no body clock.
So they're way more comfortable wasting women's time. No offense. Yeah, like they will gladly date 10, 15 people or however many. Like they'll gladly just like go on a date for shits and giggles. I think more women more often like... Let's just be honest, women don't have as much time. Like, sure, of course, yeah, you can do anything. But, like, women, like, men could have a kid in their 40s and it's completely fine. Most men get married now. I think the average age is, like, 37 or something, or, like, 35 probably.
Mick Jagger just had twins at 77 years old.
So. Maybe, like, or I wonder what the average men getting married age is. Probably 32, maybe?
I think it's probably similar to when I got married. But it's definitely getting later over the years. Like, most people would have been married with kids 40 years ago. My parents were married and had a kid away at 23.
At your age, my dad, I was 8 years old.
Yeah, but at the same time, in this day and age now, if we would have met, you were 22 when we met, yeah?
Yeah.
22, 23. If 22. If I was even 22 to 28 in that time, you wouldn't have liked me.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have even got past the conversation because... Even if you accepted my thing on Hinge, you would have looked at my age and been like, oh, he's too young for me.
I had my Hinge set, like, the youngest was, like, 30, I think.
Yeah, I just made it. But I think with...
You're talking about how men have less pressure. Like, they can go on more dates. They have more time. Like, they don't have to be so serious about things in a way. And that's why I think men are way more likely to not want to put labels on things or be less serious.
And men always have an end goal from a date, no matter if they want to say it or not, if they want to admit it or not. Without, you know, you don't go into a date as a man thinking, like, oh, I'm going to score, I'm going to get laid. However you want to put the words, it's every way of saying it is gross. But... there is always a chance. So in the back of a guy's mind, he's like, right, if I make this girl laugh, I think I could end up like winning from this date. So it goes out of being a first date with a view to a second date in a relationship to being a conquest. So, and that's why I think
women
guys
need to set boundaries.
Yeah, and that's why
no
I think guys...
No sexy time until...
Yeah, but that's why I also think guys see... God, this sounds awful as well, but I'm just thinking from some of the things I've heard in my lifetime from people I know and
you have
group
a lot
chats,
of man friends.
Group chats and stuff. I think some men or boys, I will say, young men, late teens, young men, see women as disposable. It seems it's like a competition. How many people can you sleep with? How many people can I be on a date with? You know, can I play these two friends off each other? Whatever, like, because group chats are there now, WhatsApp, everything like that, iMessage, whatever. People are bragging, people are showing off because it's about status. It's there is this masculine culture among young men to be, you know, the biggest quote unquote stud or however you'd want to word it.
Slaying the most D.
Yeah.
So big D slinger.
So I think again going back to everything, I think women should be a lot more focused in their initial chats without sounding too formal.
It's women's job, in my opinion, to like set the boundaries because men will always like they will try to push them, like saying they're like the conquerors. They're gonna try to see how much you push, and when you set it, most will respect them, and if they don't, that's not the one for you. So if you say like I'm not doing this or no, like obviously you know you word it eloquently, like I'm being very blunt, but you say like no, like this doesn't work for me, in very nice like sugar coated terms. And they don't respect that, then you don't want to be with someone like that. You don't want to be with someone who, like, you say no to something and they try to, like, pressure you, like, no, bye-bye. If they're actually a man and they're respectful, they'll actually act probably completely chill, like, oh, yeah, I was just, you know, like, they won't push that. And I think, like, over time, they'll respect you more. And like you're saying, you just have to ask the right questions in a non-aggressive, like, way and just, like, be very transparent with, like, who that person is. You know, that's why I think dating apps are so popular now because you can see someone's age, occupation. I mean, people lie, I guess, but like you can kind of get the vibe of who they are and see if you think it'll be a match. Like if I swiped and I saw someone like, I don't know, like riding a motorcycle, doing like crazy esports with a bunch of tattoos, like
holding a fish.
Yeah, that was just not my vibe. Like I already know. Like no offense. Like nope.
Everyone has their own. Ideal like personal things that they look for,
yeah, and who you're like would naturally kind of like be attracted to, or like if I'm yeah, so it's just also like being mindful of how you present yourself I think is really important on social media, because I know some very wholesome sweet girls, but then when they present themselves on like dating apps I feel like they give off a little bit of a you know WAP kind of vibe, and although that's so amazing and like definitely embody your sexuality, I like 100%, but just being mindful of like how you present yourself. Like I'm lucky now that we're married, like I can post my poll videos and I'm just like, I can feel chill, but I'm like thinking if I was dating, I don't know, like, you would just kind of, you have to be like in a way just like it's obviously people judge, but you just want to be mindful. If you're wanting a high quality person who's like classy, let's say, and et cetera, and like respectful, then you also probably want to be, it's not like you're trying to change it, but you want to also be a match to that.
Yeah. What I would say to what you just said as well is women owning their sexuality is a threat to some men.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a big threat.
Why do you think that?
Because it hits their ego, right? Men are taught, you know, like we were the hunter-gatherers. We were the ones. Women stay home with the kids. Women do this. Women clean the house. Whatever it might be. Some women love that. Some people just want to be a homemaker. Fair play to them,
beautiful.
Right? Yeah, all fairness to them. But a woman with confidence, a woman with attitude that owns her own sexuality, to me is the most attractive thing in the world. But to most people, to a lot of people, it is going to be a threat. So I also think that women, yeah, set boundaries, don't give it up. Don't give it up easily.
And just because you're sensual and you post sensual things and you have a very sexy vibe, that doesn't mean that you own anything. Like, Chanel has a sexy vibe. Is Chanel giving out free handbags? Like, no,
yeah,
you know?
And it's just like, people be like, oh, something happens to her. It's, oh, because she was wearing a short skirt or something.
It's like crazy.
Yeah, stupid. So another point on the women owning their sexuality is you have another ace up your sleeve. You have a trick up your sleeve. So let's say you leave it that month, you go on a few dates, or three-date rule, whatever people have these days. And then you're like, oh, this person thinks, oh, you know, she's great. You've already, you know, they're already convinced at that point. They're still going out with you, even though you haven't slept with them, that, you know, you could be wifey material.
That, okay, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you don't sleep with them and you can keep going out with them, that person's going to view you differently. They're going to view you as a potential partner. And you'll see someone really likes you for you. Because if you didn't sleep with them and then they never text you again, like, amazing. The trash took itself out, you know?
Exactly. And then, as I mentioned, this ace up your sleeve. You do go to do the deed. And you're a little bit of a freak at heart. Or maybe not even that, but you just have this sexual energy that you own. And the guy's like, oh my God, she's amazing in bed as well. Like, and they're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to put all the work in here. Or she's going to be a bit of a prude because she's, you know, she's not too committal with me. She's not touchy-feely because she wants us to be either in a relationship or three dates, five dates, whatever it might be.
Relationship.
Yeah, you go and then, you know, knock their socks off, literally. They're sold. You're done. You win. You're gonna get a ring in a few months because they already like you for your personality. They're already attracted to you, and the fact that you can, this is a horrible way of putting it as well, satisfy each other then rather than satisfying the man.
You also slang D.
Yeah. Then you know they can then turn around to all the boys that are like, oh, she's never gonna give it up or whatever. You turn around and be like, I waited a month, but best sex ever. Oh, by the way, we're in a relationship now. it's a big thing. So I think, yeah, very important. Women, own your sexuality. Own the fact that it's your choice. You say yes or no, and not just in a black and white way. Like, you get to say if you go on a date. You get to say if you go for dinner. You get to say if that person drives you home, calls you an Uber, whatever it might be. Own it. Keep yourself as the decision maker.
Exactly. And like you're saying, you could have been the exact same person, but if you just slept with them right away, they never would have had the chance to have that conquest, to like keep courting you, to keep pursuing you, to keep putting time and energy into you. So although you could be amazing, you're the same person, they never had the opportunity to really get to invest in you. Like, no matter what you want to say, whatever we invest more money into, we value. Like, I'm not gonna lie, the clothes that I have that I invested that are like $500+, I treat them, I'm not like so much more different than other pieces. Even though I try to be, you know, careful with everything, but just the more you invest time, money, and energy, effort, you value it more. So if you only invested one date and two $14 drinks, $28, girl, like, it's not that big of an investment. But if you've been dating for a month and doing all these different things and he put time and energy and effort, like, it's like your value does increase in their eyes, not literally, but like in their eyes, because they've invested. And same for women. Like, I think if women spend a lot of time with that person, women also think, oh, even if that person's not the best match, they're like, oh, but I've been with them for like however long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I would also say, when it comes to, you know, going back to the dating side of things, I knew from our first date, although I was pretty hammered when I turned up, but I had a work event.
He was nervous.
I had a work event before as well, where I was day drinking with my colleagues and... Yeah, and it was in a good mood.
He was so
nervous.
Confident.
Yeah, but I was like, I was nervous, but I was also confident because of the alcohol. But I learned very quickly that you don't drink. You're not a big drinker. You may have one glass, maybe two. Like, I think there was maybe two or three times the first 6 months we were going out, we had two glasses of wine.
First,
and I was like,
two.
Ooh, wild.
She's crazy.
But I knew that straight away. So I knew for a fact the second day I couldn't just do, oh, let's go for drinks. Or let's go for a dinner at this bar that also serves food, right? Most guys, first thing is going to be like, let's get to the bar, let's get the drinks flowing, because the more they drink, the more chance I've got of getting something at the end of the day.
So
I knew without you saying it in any words, I knew that you weren't that type of person. So I arranged a nice casual
when we went
dinner
to
the, after
yeah,
work,
it was
Cafe,
so
Cafe Gratitude,
yeah.
Beverly Hills.
And it's gone now, RIP, it's near Vienna.
The third date was the Broad Museum.
And dinner. It was really nice.
And dinner.
And then a wine bar. It was loaded.
and then I think the fourth date was we went to the theatre for the Book of Mormon Festival,
yeah.
And sat in a box, although it was terrible, terribly uncomfortable seat.
Also, we I think one of our, I think it must have been the fourth one too, we went and got a lot,
went to,
like,
downtown.
You put, like, yeah, he always made, like, he planned the most elaborate, like, different dates. Like, one day would be like dinner in Beverly Hills, another, I lived in Beverly Hills at the time too, so like it was so convenient you like thought of me, and then another time we'd go to like a museum, and then we'd go to a show. Like, all the dates were so effort filled, which I think that shows too. That rather than I don't know, what do you want to do, I don't know, just go to this bar, oh, like, give me the
I put in the work, and that's mm-hmm. something that I've continued to do throughout our relationship, whether it's a date, a holiday,
just, you're a great planner.
Hey, just even on Saturday night, it's just like, you're like, hey, no pressure, but I want to do something on Saturday night. I don't have work early on Sunday. Like, I want to make the most of the evening. We can drop Mia off at my parents' house. You get me thinking about it without saying, you know, we have to do something on this day. You're like, hey, it's Monday. Saturday, I'd like to do something. Like, let me know. And I always try and think of something new. But I would say that's another thing as well. Like, if a guy says to you, hey, let's just meet for drinks, say no. Yeah. Do better. Like, do better. Think of something else. Unless you love drinking. If you just love wine, go for it. Or you also feel nervous and you want to feel more casual and you feel like a little bit of Dutch courage.
We could have a glass of wine before.
Yeah, you could. You could.
But like, make men put effort. Yeah.
Figure out like, when you're chatting with someone, when you're in that first thingy phase, like you can't wait for them. When you really like someone, you can't wait for them to message you back. So make sure there's no games as well. Like,
I hate that stuff, like, too. We never had that ever. One time. Listen to this, guys. One time, I genuinely took a while. I took like one day to respond because, I don't know, I didn't feel well. I was not looking at my phone. I don't remember why, but I was not playing a game. I genuinely just, there was some reason why I didn't respond. And then I text him back and he waits. No, I'm even lying. I didn't even take a full day. I took like 6 hours or 12 hours not to respond because I was doing something. And I guess his ego got hurt and he took a full day to text me back. And it was like one of those messages where it's like you would answer right away. Like, it was like, how's your day going? And he replied a day later. I was like, this guy.
But I learned from that. So yeah, avoid any games and stuff like that. Be honest with each other. But yeah, like, do something that you want to do on the first date and see, you know, unless that person turns around and says, yeah, if that person turns around and like you say, oh, I'd love to like go to the theater or something, it's going to make a guy run a mile on the first date. But you could even say, well, you know, I don't really want to go to a bar type place. Yeah, I want to go to a place that just serves mostly food, or, you know, it has a liquor license.
And you could say it like really casually. You could be like, I love vegan food, or I love Mediterranean food. I'd love, or like, if there's a restaurant you want to go to, say, you've never been, you say, oh, I've heard Avra is really great. Like, you know,
I've heard Nobu. Yeah, it's great.
I heard this little sushi restaurant called Nobu in Malibu, just tiny little place. Like, no, but you know, you just you can hint super kindly without being demanding, like just being sweet, just being like, oh, you know, I really love sushi, like I've been to Nobu a few times, loved it, or there's also this new place that opened. Like, you can also be helpful with suggestions, but in a very like kind way, like in a very open way, or like, oh, I love
without being controlling.
Yeah,
which is, I think, it's a bit.
So we're gonna answer two questions now. You ready? All
right.
One girl asks, I constantly write off men that pursue me who don't fit my typical type. Am I too picky?
I wish I had more context.
Well, first of all, like, I think this is like very interesting. Like, I think that
you have to be attracted to someone.
You have to be attracted to someone, 100%. Like, I just don't think, like, if you just don't find someone attractive. Like, no offense, I'm very picky, okay? I always joke and tell him, the only people I find attractive are him and then the Serbian guy from Shark Tank.
Croatian
guy. What's his name? Daniel.
Something like that.
But
Robert Hershovitz,
our man. But
my competition.
Yeah, exactly.
My billionaire competition.
Is he a billionaire?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think you have to have some attraction, because, like, I meet people, most people, and I feel zero attraction to them. So I think that if someone told me, like, now go be romantic with them, it just wouldn't happen. It's like, you could just hang out as friends. So I think there has to be, like, something romantic, but I also don't think that, like, quote-unquote butterflies are always a good feeling, because I think that's anxiety for a lot of people, and their trauma is being triggered. Why they feel like, I feel so nervous around that person, like, that's also not a good sign. Like, I mean, to a certain extent, maybe, like, before the first date, sure, you're nervous, but you shouldn't feel nervous with that person always.
All the time,
yeah,
right.
I feel like that's...
I would say, to answer that from my point of view, I wish I knew whether the type was a personality type or a physical type, but let's assume it's a physical type.
Yeah.
If it's a height, for example, and you're like, and you're a taller female, like
5'7", 8".
Yeah, 5'8" plus, totally understandable. You want a guy over 6 foot, so you can wear a pair of heels. Like, 100% understandable. No offense to short guys.
Short kings, we love you.
Yeah, no offense at all to any short people, or shorter people. So I totally see it, but I also feel like if looks is the main feature of someone for you, then I don't think you're ready to be dating. I don't think you're ready for a relationship. And going back to the start of this
It has to be a balance.
I don't think you're ready. I don't think you accept and love yourself. If you need someone that looks good just because they look good on your arm, I don't think you're truly happy and ready to
Yeah,
date.
and I think like you, I don't know, for me, I feel like I really see people's souls. I know that's so cliche, but like, I feel like you just connect with someone. Someone could be the most like quote unquote attractive person, and like, if I don't like their personality, like genuinely, I have like,
Just be vacuous and boring and
yeah, like it just gives me the ick. Like I just like I've really never genuinely been sold on like someone's looks. Like someone could, I don't know, I just no, not to, no, not like not to you.
thanks.
No, but I'm saying I've never been someone who's like, oh, I need to like, do you know what I mean? Like I don't, it's just weird. I guess maybe I think men are more like that. I don't
Yeah,
think women,
100%
I
men are
don't, I
like
just
that.
don't think it's like a woman bio, like I think women's biology is defined like security and safety more so. So I think what maybe women look at that more first. I think men look at looks more because just like they're like, you know, people, it's proven that men like look at a woman's waist right away because it's like some biological after their face, I think. But to, like, it's like if they're like to see if they're like fertile, like the bigger their hips, the more fertile they are, they can carry their babies. I don't know, have you heard that?
No, I thought people that had crazy wide hips had like operations that made them look like a wishbone, but
Their
like
ribs
Kim
taken out.
Kardashian,
Well,
yeah.
they have like BBLs and their ribs taken out. But so I just think it's like finding a balance. Obviously, you have to be attracted to someone, but like you can't
That can't be
not,
the main
that
thing.
can't be the main
Chat to them
thing.
first. Find
Yeah.
out if they're a decent person. And
Exactly.
also, video chat with people.
Yeah, 100%.
Video chat with people.
Do a
Don't
little
just rely on a
interview.
text. Yeah, just have a video chat and then call them when you're not feeling 100% sexiest. Don't put all your makeup and stuff on. Maybe the first call. That's a makeup on. But after that, like, have a general conversation with them. Finish work and be like, oh, hey, do you want to chat? Like, I just got back from the gym after work. You know, are you free tonight? 15 minutes. Like,
Really good initiative,
let's have a
yeah.
chat. Or, you know, I would say the same thing to a guy. Like, have a video call with someone and figure out, am I attracted to this person's personality, ethics, morals,
I
intentions,
think pers
integrity?
exactly. I think that that is like actually stronger. Like someone does not have to be the men and women. Like there's women who, no offense, aren't the sexiest women, but they're like so confident and magnetic and charismatic. I don't want to give like my in life the real life
Yeah.
example because like I don't want to like say anything, but there's like one girl I know who's like not conventionally the most attractive, but is so like sexy and magnetic that I'm like, damn, you know?
Yeah,
So
like she's got confidence. She
because
loves herself.
exactly, and men and women can feel that. So men too, like. Short kings, tall kings, all kings. Like if I think what's most attractive about men is when they're confident in like themselves and what they're speaking about, and like they're like I don't, whenever you speak, I could tell you know what you're talking about. I think that's attractive versus someone's like no, you know. So I think it's a balance, but I think there obviously
Yeah.
has to be attraction, but I don't think that like you should be seeking out, like you're not casting, you
No,
know, at the end of the
and
day.
also to the person who asked this question, if you're still young and
Marriage isn't your like
yeah, and
goal.
you're not looking to get married right away, then you do you. Take your time, find the
Yeah.
person that's right for you. But I know people that have been with people for a long time that aren't happy with them, that aren't don't like them at all really, but they're still attracted to them, and it's gone on so far, there's kids and stuff like that involved now, but there's no actual
Connection.
connection. It's all physical.
And that's
And
not fulfilling to the soul.
yeah, and then what if that person then you only love someone or you only like someone because the way they look, and then you know 3 years in you're married, you know, and they have an accident or something, or you know, God forbid, anything worse happens, and you have to look after them the rest of their life, or they don't look the same anymore. Do you lose that attraction? Who knows? But I think to the person that asked it, you decide, you know, like is it purely looks, is it purely height, is it purely something else, is it something that makes sense? Like if you're a taller woman, you need someone that's taller than you, whatever it might be.
Okay,
But yeah.
we're gonna end on one question, but we'll have a little bit of time because we already have 44 minutes. But I really want to answer this one. It's tips on communicating well with your partner. Share your tips.
You just gotta find quality time with each other, understand each other's boundaries,
And
understand
the
each
way you
other's
word things,
schedules.
the way you word things. So if you're upset, we've talked about this before. Instead of saying like you blank blank blank, I mean this people talk about this all the time, but you say, hey, when you did blank, you made me feel blank. Also, I really like this. People say to use this phrase called the story I'm telling myself is. So it's like when you go hang out with your friend without telling me, like it makes me feel like unappreciated or like, you know, not kept in the loop, and the story that I'm telling myself is I'm not as important and that your priority, like you get like by not putting blame on the other person.
Again, all of this is subjective to the time and to the experience, because everyone can be reactive. And I'm only going to repeat things that I've read in books before, because I'm definitely someone who's reactive, especially if I haven't slept or I've had a rough day at work or something like that. Then I'm definitely more tetchy and more likely to respond with something that I don't really mean or doesn't, isn't part of the conversation. So I think have a really deep understanding of your partner's like work schedule. If you know that someone's had an extra long day, or they've had to do a night shift, or you know they haven't slept because the baby might have been up, whatever it might be,
it's not the time.
That's probably not the time to go in and ask some really trivial question that's only important to you. But I think it's all about honesty, and you've got to sit down and talk to each other. Like, you know, make sure, don't have any phones at the dinner table. Have a conversation over dinner. Or, you know, figure out a way of having proper, genuine one-on-one communication where you look each other in the eyes, and you can have a real conversation.
And the wording, I think, again, like the way you word things is super, like how you structure your sentence to bring up your concern. Because if people feel attacked, they can, like, I know I feel attacked, I immediately shut down, you know. It's like, and you're supposed to tell me something. Like, it depends on what. Like, it depends on mood I'm in. I'm Gemini. If I'm in a good mood, someone could tell me, and I'll be like, haha. But another, my mom always jokes about this. You could tell me the exact same thing 2 days apart, and I react differently. So just to not make someone feel attacked, because, like, I know that I shut down if I feel attacked. So to bring it up as, like, it's making me feel like, and I would like to bring a solution. So, for example, like, let's say, I don't know, like, as an example, Carl wasn't giving, what was the girl's name, Sadie, enough attention. So Sadie could be like, hey, Carl, when you play video games all day, although the fact that you're a slob, I'm just kidding. No, but she's like, when you play video games all day, it makes me feel not seen and not understood, and I would like for us to spend more quality time together and maybe go for walks more, have experiences so we can really connect. So, like, she didn't blame him. She didn't say, like, oh, why are you playing video games all day, you loser? You know, some people, you know, make money for that, so amazing. Like, I'm making a joke. I feel like some people could get offended. But I'm genuinely just making a joke. But if she communicates it as, like, you know, it makes me feel like blank, and I would like blank, you know? Like, or, like, I don't know, I had this, sorry. I rattled the table.
An earthquake going on or something.
So when I used to not make the bed, you'd get really angry, because I was like, why make it if I'm going to unmake it tonight?
Because I only asked you to do one thing in the whole house. But, like, everything else, I was like, I'm asking you to do one thing. Please make the bed in the morning. So
no, you communicated differently, and that's when it worked. You said, I really like when you make the bed because it looks really amazing.
After my failed attempts at just trying to get you to do it.
But that was when that worked. When you said, you know, I know that it's not really fun making the bed. Or something like that. And, like, I know that you don't, like, sometimes in the morning you're rushing, you don't want to make it. But when you make it, it makes everything look so much more put together. And I love when you make it.
It makes the room look nicer. And it makes me feel better that it's not another job that I have to do.
Yeah, but so you communicated what it was, but you had compassion. So you said, I know that it's not fun to make. I know you don't want to do it in the morning. But when you do it, it makes me feel so happy. And I started doing it. And every morning I don't want to do it. I think, but it makes him so happy. So it's like, I think that, like, how you communicate. What if instead of saying, you never make the bed, it's so disgusting, like, it's so annoying, like it's just like this. If you're wanting a solution, then, like, communicate to get to the solution. People are so rude when they communicate, and I get it when you're angry, like, when I can be angry, like, I get, like, vicious. But, like, if you're wanting a solution, then communicate to get to a solution. Don't just, like, say rude things or, like, just complain, because it's not going to help. The other person's going to feel attacked, and then it's just like there's gonna be no resolution at the end of the day.
You're taking 2 steps back.
Exactly. Like, you're wanting to find a solution to whatever the quote-unquote issue is, and by you, like, by both people, man or woman, not communicating the best way, like, it's just moving away from that.
Yeah, I also think, have a think about what it is you're asking someone to do, or, just asking someone to do, because if it's only important to you and something internal to you, it doesn't actually make a difference anywhere else in the world, like, it doesn't look different, it doesn't feel different, it doesn't sound different, whatever it might be, then, and someone's busy and they've had a long day, probably not the best time to go in and be like, oh, hey, can you do this for me? So think about that as well. But also, what I'm learning every day through meditation, through books that I've read, through just knowing that it's a major issue of mine is having a very short temper sometimes, is to just take a proper deep breath, like not even through the nose, like you know, through the mouth, like a gasp, and just be and think, is this the right thing to say? Is this what I should be saying?
sometimes I say something and I have, he goes, I'm like, oh, is that too much?
And also, I have recently been reading some Rumi poetry, and I think
that online or in a book?
Just some quotes on Let's End Your Daily Quote. I think one of the quotes that the author is very famous for is saying, like, you know, three things. Is it true? Is it important? Is it worth saying? Like, if any of those are a no, keep it to yourself. Or figure out a different way of getting your message out there.
Our wedding quote was a Rumi quote. You know, do you remember what it was? It's very sweet. It's basically like, I don't believe that lovers find each other. They're in each other all along.
Wow.
Or something like that. That was really nice.
Good way to end it.
Yeah. So, wow, we are at almost an hour. I feel like we could, so I really want to continue these. Maybe we can do these monthly.
I actually would. If we can find the time to do it, I'll do it monthly.
Yeah, if you let me know. So if you've listened all the way to here, please screenshot this podcast episode and tag me on Instagram. I love when you guys tag me, I just love seeing who's listening. I love seeing those of you guys who are listening consistently. And it helps get our message out to more people through organically sharing, right? Instead of pushing or promoting by you sharing that you're listening to this podcast, you never know who may hear it, who needs to hear it, who would spark so much joy and so much inspiration. It might be literally exactly what they need today and could be such a powerful part of their journey, their spiritual journey, so, and their life journey. So be sure to tag me at pbbunny97yt. It's in the keynotes. If you're still listening, and send me a message or comment on my latest post. If you want us to do more, we could like do a monthly series where we talk about like a topic that month around relationships and dating, and then we do some Q's and A's at the end. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I can do that. And send in like any specific
topic
questions, and we'll, you know, you can write them down and keep them for next time.
I'm gonna make a highlight. Okay, I'm gonna keep a highlight on my Instagram with like a, that's gonna say like dating or something, or like a heart, and under there you can continuously submit your questions for a podcast. That way I just have like this huge pool, so be sure to check that out.
And also with share this podcast, like Polina doesn't monetize this in any way, there's no ads, there's nothing breaking this up, so like there's not too many things that you just get an hour of people having an honest conversation about. We've got no script, nothing in front of us. You know, get more people listed. If you've got a friend that's having relationship trouble, or a friend that keeps running into the same type of guy or girl, or they, then, you know, listen, share this, get people to listen to it, and we'll figure out a way of making it a bit smoother and a bit, you know, a bit more, bit less umming and ahhing.
I am purpose dead. I don't, right now at the moment, I don't monetize it, even though I could, because I just want you guys to have this like smooth place, a smooth listen, to just have this podcast to enjoy. So when you share it, it's still, it would just mean so much to me, so that, yeah, it just sort of continues to grow and expand. Mm-hmm. And yes, also, I believe at this time that you're listening to this, you're saying no more, but this is important. This is the last thing I want to say. While you're listening to this, there should be new launches, jewelry pieces launching on Lyft, on liftyourfrequency.co, my jewelry shop. There should be some beautiful pieces that, because this is going to be launching on this on the upcoming Monday. So if you're listening to this, go to liftyourfrequency.co. There are so many new beautiful jewelry pieces launching, things you've probably never seen before, and I'm just so excited to share. So yes, definitely check that out.
And you'll be doing one-of-ones for people too.
Not custom. They're not going to be custom, but they're going to be...
Some of us have more ambition. Yeah. I'm joking.
I'm going to be having my own designs as well, yeah. I don't know if those might be up by now, by when this is up. But again, just go on to liftyourfrequency.co to check all that out. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Cheers.
Cheers. Goodbye. We'll see you next week. I'll see you next week on Unlimited Abundance.